Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday to you. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on August 24th, 2020, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today, or perhaps you're listening on the archives, which is okay with us. We archive every show over at our website, which is education-talkradio.org. You can go over there, click on past shows, listen to any show we've done over the past 7-8 years. Okay, scroll down on the homepage, you'll see the shows for this week and also last week's shows. We have a nice new section over there as well as education-talkradio.org. And we invite you to please, if you're an educator in pre-K-12, join our Equity Consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. We have a lot of great information over there about equity. We want your voice heard, and we have a wonderful magazine for you over there. It's an online journal, the official journal of ace-ed.org, and that's called Equity and Access, ACNE, and you will really enjoy it. You can just go right over there and read it. Please join with us over at ace-ed.org. We got a wonderful show for you today. The original connection was made from my friends over at Discovery Education. Okay, Claudia called me. We decided to do this show. We've done a number of shows together. Claudia Ramirez-Wiedemann is the Director of Education over all the way across the country from me at the USC Shoah Foundation. All right, and she oversees the strategic direction of the Institute's global education program. She's got a great team, okay, and it's all evidence-based methodologies and practices to try to promote understanding and empathy through audio-visual testimony, and it's an amazing experience. And we've got Claudia here today. And hello, Claudia. It's Larry here. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Larry. Hi, everyone.
Right. It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. That was just like,
you.
Oh, you're always welcome here, and you know that, okay? Boy, I'll tell you. Why don't you just tell everybody, Dr. Ramirez-Wiedemann, tell everybody about the Shoah Foundation, just as an introduction. And by the way, it was founded by Steven Spielberg after he did Schindler's List, okay? We can go on and on
right
about that, but go ahead. Do you see Spielberg a lot? Do you see him a lot?
No. He doesn't roam the halls here. I have a couple of times, but that's about it.
Okay, that's cool. That's more times than I've seen him. Yeah, he's done good work.
So the Shoah Foundation, which is has its headquarters in Los Angeles at the University of Southern California, preserves the interviews of survivors of genocide, including the Holocaust and other genocides like in Rwanda, Guatemala, Nanjing, and other more recent forms of atrocity, like in South Sudan and other places. So what we do is we collect those, we archive them, we digitize them, and we make them accessible and discoverable for educators and scholars and others, right? So from the education side, what we do is then we curate lessons and other resources that teachers and students can access at teachingwithtestimony.com, which is our partnership with Discovery. It's a wonderful program. You can access these lessons that teachers can use in their classroom wherever and whenever, because you can just plop them into an existing curriculum. And they're short, brief, online, offline, and ask students to think about their understanding of hate, its manifestation, its impact, and to really think about what role they might play in combating those things that we see in the world, especially these days.
Yeah, and you know, I have to ask you this, and I'm asking on behalf of teachers everywhere. When you talk about the Holocaust, you talk about the Armenian genocide of World War One, recently the Rohingya genocide in Burma, okay?
Yeah.
You can go right down, Myanmar, I guess. You can go right down the list, okay? And the one in Rwanda with the Hutus and the Tutsis, okay? Hotel Rwanda, the one in the movie. There always seems to be a movie about this, okay? But, you know, these things are horror-filled, okay? They're horror. All right. And I wanted to ask you this. I never asked you this before, and I know your answer, but I want you to articulate it. How hard is this to watch? You know, what grades are we talking about? I mean, holocausts and genocides are not pretty things. Okay, so what grades are we talking about? And as teachers are thinking about this, how hard is this to watch and come to grips with? It's easier to be an ostrich and put your head in the sand, okay? But we got to face these things. You know that, okay? Right. Just talk about that and what teachers say about it. That might be a good way to go into it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So.
And by the way, everybody, Claudia is a wonderful person. She deals with this every day. So I have a feeling she's got a really good answer for this.
So how I will answer that question is to say, yes, the interviews that we collect are full life histories. So people talk about their life before, during, and after the genocidal event, okay? Now, for education purposes, we don't normally curate lessons that use material that is not appropriate for students. And we're talking about 13-year-olds and up in the teaching and testimony program that we have available in Discovery. So that's for middle schoolers and up. But again, we make use of this material in ways that are developmentally appropriate, that are appropriate pedagogically, so that students are brought to the learning in what we say in a safe way, and that they leave the learning in a safe way as well, so that we don't just have students watch clips without any context, historical, geographical, or otherwise, but we provide that in that preparation, and then when they're done watching, we ensure that teachers provide that space for students to reflect on what they watched. And it could be a clip, a two-minute clip, of three people who talk about anti-Semitism and how it looked like on a day-to-day basis, what it made them feel like, how it manifested in their day-to-day lives. They give you graphic details about what that looked like and what it felt like on the school grounds, right, in the classroom with friends. You know, this sort of thing. Because when you do that, you're more likely to be able to have the student watching really kind of get it, right? Understand, because that's where they live. That's where their world is.
Right.
So we find that kind of material to then bring them in to consider important questions about responsibility, about just what does it look like? How does it manifest in these ways that you don't even notice? So that's how we go in. We don't use those parts of interviews that aren't appropriate. And I really am glad you asked this question, because we do get some teachers and parents and community that may be a bit unsure about the appropriateness of this. But it absolutely is. And I think when the teachers see on the website all of the materials and see the pedagogical grounding, they'll realize that this is absolutely doable, and the teacher doesn't have to be a scholar of the Holocaust or genocide, but that we walk them through each of these lessons with step-by-step flexible guidelines on how to teach this material. And again, in these particular moments in our time, this material would be phenomenal for your listeners to try out.
Yeah, and I hate to have you say that in our time, because it just shows how much we need to learn about all this, and it all has to do with understanding empathy, anti-racism.
Right.
In other words, the Holocaust is an ancient history. That's one generation ago. There's one or two, maybe two generations ago, okay, depending on how long a generation is, you know. And I'm curious, and I thank you for that. It was a great explanation. And by the way, what's the website? I almost forgot to ask that. What's the website?
Yeah. So it's teachingwithtestimony.com, all one word,
teachingwithtestimony.com. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
And the teachers, thank you, too. And they really need to check it out. What type of teachers? Just social studies? Who's using this? So I want to get that word out. Who do you find is using it?
So, I mean, the usual types of teachers that might use this are social studies, history, teachers who may touch on these topics, not only historical, but who might be interested in teaching empathy and these capacities around social emotional learning.
Mm-hmm.
To have that
good
material
point
that they can access. So you don't have to be the historian or the social science teacher, but you could be that, use it as an activity before other learning that you're doing in any class, because this has to do with those capacities around citizenship and things like this that any teacher can make use of.
It really does, and I see it in English language arts, okay, as well. All right, it's just
exactly.
It's such an amazing thing to write and talk about. And I never asked you this. Okay, we've done what, 5-6 shows together, but I've never asked you this. Okay, how do kids react? A 13-year-old, and let me make my points. I like kids and etc.
Yeah.
But sometimes kids can be smart asses. All right, and they react differently to things that affect an adult differently. Yeah, okay. Of course, obviously, there's more experience in the world, et cetera. What do you hear about how kids react? I'll ask that question. What are you hearing?
Yeah, our observations and research that we also do, evaluation of programs, what we learn are a couple of things. One is that students, while they may sometimes, not often, but when they think that this may not be something relevant to them because they're watching a person that's older, that is a different time. It's not a current, interview, let's say. These were recorded, 25 years ago or so.
Yeah.
That initial reaction immediately goes away when these survivors and other witnesses start to talk about universal experiences. So if I'm talking about, right, if a survivor is talking about anti-Semitism and how it feels to be left out or dehumanized or made to have to make decisions that are not really realistic because of who they are, students, especially from what we're seeing, beginning to see, is that students that are disenfranchised in our classrooms can connect to that.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about experiences that they recognize. Even so, right, even if these people look very different from them, is that they're talking about these experiences that are very human and very universal. And that's
all too
really
human and too often,
them.
I might add. All too human and too often. Yeah, it's terrible.
Exactly. So when you have that mix, right, it's that's where the magic happens, is that students are hearing themselves in these stories that took place long ago. But they're hearing themselves, they see themselves. And what happens, and this is the key, is that students, whoever that might be, black, brown, a person who's struggling with their identity, from a working class or whatever, rural, like these students have very similar experiences because it's universal to feel others for one reason or another. And when that happens, though, when they're hearing these survivors, they put their own experience in greater relief. In other words, they see the bigger picture of the world, and they place their experience within that larger picture or frame of reference. And that does something. It says, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. And this person was able to transcend that experience to an extent, right? And that helps students, and this is what we're trying to figure out in our evaluation, is what does that do then to students' sense of self and sense that I can do this myself, and that grit and view of themselves in a future ahead, So that's the opportunity here is that it really speaks to students' experiences and places them in larger contexts, and that opens up possibilities for students.
It really does, and you just kind of answered this, but I want to ask this. Have you seen an upswing in what you're doing and teachers getting involved with you since the spring? And I'm referring to the George Floyd murder and the poor Breonna Taylor. Okay. And a lot of people, when they think of the Shoah Foundation, okay, because it's a Hebrew word, okay, they would think of the Holocaust. Of course, we've already decided you go way, way beyond that. And Toby, you're working towards social justice, and you're working towards, you know, towards equity for everybody, et cetera. But what have you seen since, I'll say since the death of Mr. Floyd and all the uproar over that, and the deserved uproar over that, I might add.
we did have an uptick of use of this material right when this was all happening, because one of two reasons. One is this is a time when teachers are using this material, in particular in the spring, which is when in the curriculum genocide and other similar histories are addressed. And so we saw that. But we also saw in the shift to online learning is that we saw the need for more resources where students could go online and access material and bring their students. So we also provided face-to-face student programming based on this material that you see on teachingwithtestimony.com. And we offered something like, I don't know, 20 programs in different topics, most of which address social emotional learning outcomes. And they were 40 minutes. These were so accessible. And we had something like 3,500 students over the course of just a few weeks, right around that springtime, participate. And it's because it had to do with addressing students' universal right feelings of isolation and uncertainty and things like this, but also these issues of hate and identity-based hate, which is what these survivors talk about. That's why they're even survivors, is because of who they were, they were persecuted. And I think, again, we were broaching topics that were so relevant, and students respond to that. They want to be heard and want to share what they're going through.
Yeah. So you know what's really crazy? Successful. I mean, it's so sad that all of this is, I don't know how to say this, is so still relevant. I mean, you go back in history and you talk about chariot repair. That's not relevant anymore. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
this
continually, and unfortunately, and it's hard to believe when you really say it out loud, remains relevant. Okay, we got it. It's real. And Claudia still has a smile on her face. She's still a wonderful person. Okay, she deals with this all the time. Hey, you know, you brought up something. I had just written it down when you brought it up. Remote learning. This stuff, and we're talking about heavy-duty stuff, and it's wonderful the way you guys make it part of social-emotional learning and all that sort of thing. But with remote learning, and it may continue for a lot of kids, okay, the kids are home. They don't have their friends, per se, to bounce this stuff off of, okay? They do, but, you know, they don't in a normal setting. Okay, hope that changes soon.
Yeah.
But with the remote learning coming up, how did you gear this? Did you make any big changes for the remote side of it so kids can deal with this, if I may, by themselves at home? And you know what I mean when I say that. Or, you know, do you want the families more involved? I don't know. I'm just asking. It just struck me when you said that.
Yeah. So a few things. One is that we had always been accessible online. We didn't have to pivot much because all of this is available online for teachers and students.
Yeah, but you're dealing with it in groups. Now we're remote.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So how we think this is a effective and has always been effective is that the material is engaging on these levels I've just described, that the topics, the material, the pedagogy behind it, the use of multimedia resources within this material make it very accessible and doable in the context of a Zoom call, right? So
not today. Zoom's down today. Did you know that? Zoom is down today.
I know. I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. I think it's repaired, but
yeah, it might be by now. It's noon here. Afternoon.
The material, we are very proud of it because it's necessarily grounded in good pedagogy and the topics are relevant to young people, and so they're developmentally appropriate. And so when teachers go to teachingwithtestimony.com, they'll see a number of lessons with all of the activity material and family supporting material on topics like us versus them, responding to injustice, rights and responsibilities, things like this. So it's already accessible, even in a Zoom situation, because it's multimedia, because it asks students to think on their own and then also with their classmates, that it's quite doable. That's one. The other is we offered these face-to-face programs where we took some of the material, turned it around, and taught with it.
Cool.
Right?
Cool.
We ended up doing that. But teachers can, that's what teachers can do. But we have lots of other resources, that we're bringing.
And it's teachingwithtestimony.com. I want to say, I got to ask you a question, my friend Claudia. Okay. And I was thinking about this the other day, and by the way, what is your doctorate in? Your doctor, what are you a doctor of? I never even knew that. What are you a doctor of? Education?
Yeah.
History? What are you?
So
I never asked
my,
that.
My PhD. Yeah, great. No, it's a good question. My PhD is in education with a focus on applied linguistics. So when you go make a decision about what you want to learn, you're grounded in one of the disciplines. So for me, it was education, which is more of a cross-disciplinary field, of course.
Yeah.
But I went out and studied more deeply applied linguistics, which is really the study of language in society.
And Jed Nunberg, the famous linguist, just died yesterday or the day before. Did you know that?
Which one?
Nunberg. Isn't it Nunberg?
Read that. I completed it at UCLA here in Los Angeles. But what was important there in learning is understanding the field of education from a theoretical and practical perspective, and that's what I really focused on, but then also brought an understanding of language. And I think for the work I do now, it has really been great because language isn't something we just produce, but it's informed by who we are, by where we are in the moment, by
people
around us, right?
That's right.
So it's really it's a good framework.
That is dead on right. That is dead on right. The guy's name is Jeffrey Nunberg, and he was a world-famous linguist. And read the New York Times today. Yeah, his obit is in there. Okay, but it's a big deal. Mm. They're making it like he was the quote, one of the kings of the linguistics world. This is all I know about him, but I read the, but it's a big obit in the New York Times. Jeffrey Nunberg. Learn all about it. And I want to ask you a question. And this is an interesting thing. You folks deal with genocides, all right? And I don't know whether I'm asking about a genocide. I don't think it's the right word. But when I was thinking of doing the show, I was thinking about it. And it dawned on me about Bryan Stevenson and his lynching museum, that side of the world in Birmingham. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the Just Mercy guy. He won't see a good movie. What's that?
Yeah.
Just Mercy. Uh-huh. But I'm curious, and this might be relevant to kids of African-American background right now, okay? When we look at lynching in the South and what Bryan Stevenson has done and, bad social justice or social injustice, excuse me. Okay, couldn't think of the word. Did you guys work with him at all?
Not that I know of at my level. It may have been that our executive director was contacted, but it certainly was based on or inspired by the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin and Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg. So,
yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And we do often work with museums and others to help them tell the story of an experience, because that's what we do with our interviews, right? Is that
yes, you
we
do.
Help really think about that. So at some of these places, the testimonies can be integrated, and you'll see that around the world with our material. But I think this one, Lynching Memorial, is phenomenal. And it's story,
I agree.
Right?
It
and
is.
I love that you asked that question, because at the core of the work we're doing with Discovery Education here, which has been an incredible partner to us.
Yeah, they're great. They are.
Is that it's all grounded in story, the universal storytelling act that we've had as a species for thousands of years. And when we place on that history these important things that we have to learn and develop and move forward, we're going to be successful, because you necessarily humanize the issue.
Yeah, you face
bring it down to a level, right, that students understand.
Yeah, and things have to be seen. And actually, I had interviewed, I can't remember who it was, a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed a gentleman from Birmingham, Alabama, and actually the museum is in Montgomery. I got mixed up. I thought it was in Birmingham.
Oh.
And I asked him, he's an African-American gentleman, and I asked him if he had been to that museum. Okay, and he corrected me. He said it was in Montgomery, and he said, yes, it was. And I believe it was him who said it was an experience like going to a Holocaust museum if you're Jewish. Okay? Maybe this is where I made all this connection with you and all that sort of stuff, but I'm thinking it's the same basic thing. You know, and for black kids, if I may, for black kids, okay, this is the relevance. You know, this is the thing they got to get.
Yes.
People actually hang people, excuse me. Okay, and it's just astounding. It's just astounding.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago.
I
speaking of
that.
Relevance. Yeah.
The relevance part is always something we want to always consider and reflect back in our work, because the world changes all the time and we have to change with it. And that's good. That's what we do. And when we have anti-black racism and you know, we ask, you know, how do we address that? It's a no-brainer for us, because identity-based hate is where we live, and that's how we address that through the educational process. But we have African-American liberators in our collection, you know, who liberated camps. And we have survivors themselves, Holocaust survivors, who talk about what they observed in the South, for example, during Jim Crow, tell of this duality of, you know, having left a camp and now seeing how African Americans were being treated. And they talk about what that did for them, how odd that was, how terrifying, and how, you know, some of them wanted to return somewhere else, you know, and African-American liberators who also say, here I am at this camp in Dachau liberating these people, and I can't go home and go
to
the local theater to watch a film because I'm black.
Or sit at a lunch counter, or get a job, or drink at a water fountain. It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
But you see the duality there, and the opportunity for students to see that question of that situation poses for students and their learning. Like, I find that really phenomenal.
Yeah, I thought that African American Liberators is great. Before we go, I got a movie, two movies I want you to watch. You ready?
Yeah.
You probably saw one of them. Did you ever see The Promise?
Yes, of course.
About the Armenian genocide?
Absolutely. And
with Oscar Isaac, it's great. Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely.
And one we watched last night, which is about social injustice. It's on HBO. It was just on HBO on Saturday night for the first time. It's a new movie called Queen and Slim. and you want to watch it.
Yes.
Trust me.
I have
trust
seen
me.
That. Now, The Promise, I do want to say that on teachingwithtestimony.com, we have a whole series of materials on that film.
Oh, really? I love
yes.
that movie. I love that movie. So, I just stumbled upon it this week, and I just loved it. Oscar Isaac,
so
Christian Bale. It's unbelievable.
So I want to tell you that I really hope your listeners go to teachingwithtestimony.com and consider addressing this topic of identity-based hate through this genocide, which is not something you'll see across classrooms. You know, you think the Holocaust is something that's taught. It barely is, and even
yeah.
less so for this history. But the materials you'll see there, which include family activities, are phenomenal. And this is a history that is also contested. So it's also even more important today to find new
yeah.
ways, right, to address these issues. And this is one that's based on the film that's now available on Netflix for the first time.
Yeah, and Teaching
so
with
visit.
Testimony. Okay, it's just it. I mean, this is the reactions of real people. Okay, who lived
yeah.
through these things, and it's just amazing. You can't. It's just unbelievable. You do great work,
yeah.
my dear. I got to tell you, we're going to leave, but I got to.
Thank you.
You do great work. Okay, how's the
you.
Fires?
Yeah.
You're nowhere near the fires, right? You're not near the fires.
No, we're not near
California.
The fires, but
okay.
But, you know, it's still raging. It's bad.
It is. It's terrible.
So
are you kidding? Everybody's favorite state is burning up. It's nobody likes this.
Terrible.
Nobody.
Terrible.
It is. It's
so
terrible.
I'd like to
yes.
come back and tell you more about some of the other programs.
I'll call you. I'll email you today. We'll schedule a show for about 3 weeks
okay.
from now. How's that sound? Is that okay?
Excellent. Yes.
Okay. Good.
And thank
you're
to your listeners.
You're always welcome here, Claudia. You know that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You
have
be
a
safe
great
out
day.
There. Thank you. You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. That, everybody, is Dr. Claudia Ramirez-Wiedemann, my friend. She's been on so many times. I love that you're doing these. I love doing these shows, and hate we have to do the subject. How's that sound? Teachingwithtestimony.com from the USC Shoah Foundation. She's director of education there, and she works with Discovery Education. She's doing so much work. They're so supportive of the work that the foundation does for anti-racism, social justice, equity. Go right down the list. Okay, there's all kinds of stories. They have the Stronger Than Hate Challenge. Please go over there to teachingwithtestimony.com. This is great stuff, and it is unfortunately timely. Unfortunately timely. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Please share this with your colleagues so that even more than our listeners get to know about it and tap into it. It's really important stuff. All right? My name is Larry Jacobs. Thanks, Claudia. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.